A Little Music by Richard Smallwood and the Singers. One of my favorite songs. I thought that you would like hearing it this Sunday morning. Sing it, Richard.
Heartaches may come, teardrops may fall. Seems like no one's there for you. Oh, yeah. Friends are gone. You feel alone.
I love that song by Richard Smallwood. And I'll let it play lowly in the background. Well, it's Sunday morning. And, you know, I'm here in the office and let me say this. I am pleased to see that the hit count on my website has gone up tremendously. Since I've been putting these archival things up, you know, some of the work that I've done early in my years, I wanted all of my friends, new friends as well as old friends, to know that I am the same man in the same body that believed those same truths. And I'm so pleased. Let me say this right now. Thank you so much for coming to the website and listening to these. Man, look at this. The Fourth Commandment, Part 1, Part 2, Part 3, and the other wonderful, wonderful things that I have on this. And I just want to bring it to your memory. You can go down the list and listen to... Oh, no, I got to hear this. I'm overwhelmed. Listen.
Yeah.
just keeps repeating it. Hold on, don't let go. I'm going to play a 30-minute lecture right now. I think I'll just put that in because I found a nice little one called consecration. What is biblical consecration? What is it to be consecrated or to be offered unto the Lord? This. Because I like to think that my life is that. My life is that kind of commitment that I make to God, who is invisible, who is all loving, and who is all powerful. And I understand that we as a people must express ourselves. Yeah. Hallelujah. That's what he said. Let's listen to this piece called Consecration. I think you get a kick out of this as we formalize our Sunday worship service. Let's go into a Sunday night service when I was preaching back at the vent.
Hello, this is Pastor Coleman, the senior pastor here at the Olivet Baptist Church. You want to hear something? That's the sound of progress rolling off a .8 tape. It's not the one that you're going to listen to. You're going to hear it right now, though. We've been preaching on this series of Sunday nights, talking about the issue of how to, as a kingdom citizen, allow others to come into the kingdom. We said last time that a very important element was preparation. How does one prepare himself to be a kingdom citizen and involving others to become such? Well, tonight we spoke about something very important. That is the night of this particular sermon. And we spoke about consecration, that you have to be a consecrated individual. Let's get right into the message. Oh, by the way, God bless you for receiving another .8 tape. Ah, the sound of success. Let's get started tonight. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Father, we thank you tonight for Jesus. We thank you for him dying on Calvary's cross for our sins. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us a mind to come back tonight and to say thank you, Lord, for dying for us. And now, Lord, since you've died for us, the Bible tells us through faith that we can witness your resurrection power in our lives as we live from day to day. We ask for strength tonight, Lord, as we again approach the Bible, as we look at something to help us help people grow and come into the kingdom of God. Bless our hearts as you speak to us through the blessed word, through just one verse of scripture. But let this one verse, Lord, become so powerful that it affects the way we live from day to day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Tonight, turn with me to Mark chapter 9, verse 2. Mark chapter 9, verse 2. I understand Mark to be that same young lad that writes about himself when the soldiers came to get Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and it says that a young man fled from that place naked after the soldiers had pulled his garment off. And this same young man now, years later, writes about some things that happened in the life of Jesus Christ and his apostles. Verse 2 says, "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John, and leadeth them up into a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them." I wanted to just talk about that one verse tonight, because last week we spoke about preparation. What do we do to prepare get involved in getting people involved in the kingdom process or the kingdom program that Christ has set forth? This week tonight we're going to talk about consecration. It's one thing to be prepared to witness to someone, but you're not going to be able to witness unless you're consecrated. And what do we see Jesus doing with three of the disciples? He, in a sense, is consecrating them, taking them, setting them apart, getting ready to show them something, Linda, that is just going to shatter their minds, blow their concept of who they thought he was. Just think about it. Once you look at the book of Mark, And I guess that if you can just really go back in Mark chapter 6, you see Jesus ministering in his hometown, feeding 5,000, Jesus speaking with the Pharisees and healing the Syrophoenician woman and feeding another 4,000 people, predicting his death. Now we see after all of that ministry, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John, says, come on up to a mountain. I want to show you something. Come on up a mountain apart from the other disciples. Consecrate yourself. Get clean, because something's about to happen in your life and it's going to affect the way you live. The rest of those scriptures are beautiful, and I didn't plan this for the sermon, but I just want to quickly read through it to let you know what happened. Verse 3, and Jesus' clothing became shining exceedingly white as snow, whiter than any soap on earth could make them white. And there appeared unto them, as Jesus was on the top of the mountain, Elijah with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter, now look at Peter's response to this great event. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us build 3 little church houses, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Peter wanted to build a shrine. He wanted to start a religious faith here. He said, let's call this Mount Transfiguration Missionary Baptist Church and have a sanctuary for you and one over here for Elijah and one for Moses. That's the way men respond when they're in the presence of a holy God. Peter was besides himself, for it says in verse 6, and he didn't know what to say, for he was so afraid. Think about that. Jesus turns like lightning all around him, and then starts talking with the dead Moses and a dead Elijah, brought back from the grave, standing in person talking with Jesus, obviously about the ministry that God had called Jesus for. Peter's mind is totally blown. Let's build 3 little places of worship. And then the scripture says that he didn't know what he was saying because he was so afraid. But let's come back to this point, consecration. What was Jesus trying to get his disciples, those 3 men, to understand? He wanted them to understand something unique about him, and so that he would be able to minister, or they would be able to minister to the people that were set before them. There's going to be no service for Christ in terms of kingdom building unless each one of us in this room has been consecrated, set apart, cleaned up, established, and shown something for ministry. No, Brother Hill, I have never been on the top of a mountain seeing Jesus white like full of soap. I have never seen Jesus talking with 2 of the Old Testament prophets, but I have seen Jesus work in my life when I gain victory over sin, when he brings me, like the song says, Sister Jenny, a mighty long way. I know what he's mean to me because what he's done in my life. So therefore, he has consecrated me. Therefore, when I speak with him, I speak with power and authority, and the authority from Jesus Christ himself. Consecration on the behalf of the sinner and the saint works for the better. What do I mean by that? The sinner can be consecrated also. That's your job. That's my job. We're supposed to, Lena May, show all those sinners out there by our consecrated life what Jesus means to us, and so that it can mean the same thing to them. That's right, Linda, you call me twice, and I'm excited about that young lady that came here. Jesus can do something in her life as you and your husband and those around this lady in this church live. A what kind of a life? A consecrated life. You've got to live a clean life, because the minute you mess up, the minute Carlton, that lady hears you cussing your wife out over the fence, it's all over. Now, I'm not saying that that'll happen. But I'm saying that the minute she sees you, Linda, throwing a skillet at him, it's all over. It's all over. You can get on your knees, Brother Melton, and pray for somebody to come to Jesus. Oh, Lord, rain down your power on them. And they can see you. They can be walking around the block and see you leaving the apartment, slamming the door. Bam! Jenny, yeah, yeah. Everything that you said is worthless and senseless. It has nothing to mean about anything. Consecration is very, very important. Consecration to the Lord changes a man. That's why Peter, James, and John went up to the top of that mountain with Jesus. Jesus knew that they would be changed when they came down from the bottom of that mountain. And if you continue to read in Mark chapter 9, you're going to see that when they came down to the bottom of the mountain, the first one that they met was a demon-possessed man. Jesus had him up on the mountain to try to prepare him for service. And when they came down, they found a man down there. They found a man down there that they could barely deal with. And that's why you need to be consecrated. So let's just look at 2 points of consecration. If you are truly consecrated, and to the Evans, we're on Mark chapter 9, verse 2, where Jesus took Peter, James, and John up to the top of the Mount of Transfiguration and was transfigured. He took them apart. He consecrated them. He wanted them to see something that the other apostles wouldn't see, and so that they might be made special men. And indeed, they were made very special men. Let's look at James. He became the pillar of the church. Let's look at Peter. He became the first pastor to ever witness like they've never heard before. Let's look at John. Jesus let him live longer than any other apostle. Each three of these men were so transformed after that being taken apart by Jesus that it affected their ministries. You might say, why didn't he take the other ones up there? They probably gotten in the way. Jesus knows what he's doing. And if you're interested in being a consecrated kind of person, let's look at how the Lord does this. First way that he consecrates you is internally. Consecration is a process that takes place on the inside. That's why it's so difficult to get the sinner man to understand what Christ is all about. Christ doesn't come to do anything necessarily for the outward man as he does for the inward man. And we'll get into the outward man a little bit later. But I said that consecration is an internal process. There's an inside church that works for an outside rearrangement of the situation. What I'm trying to say, Brother Hill, is like this. Jesus Christ came into your heart on the inside. He completely changed the way you think. That's on the inside. He completely changes your motives. That's all on the inside. He consecrates your lifestyle. In other words, Lenny, you think differently about whiskey than before you became a Christian. You think differently about narcotics than before you became a Christian. That is an internal situation that goes on. The Apostle Paul puts it this way. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Paul was equating, he was saying the Holy Spirit lives in you. Therefore, an inward change takes place, and that inward change affects how you live outwardly, and those people, when they see you on the outside, like you said, Sister Sheikh, the people's going to say something different about you. See? And you can't say, well, that's because of the church I go to. That's because of the Bible that I read. You've got to tell them that's because of the inward transformation and the act of consecration that took place on the inside. You're prepared to witness. You're consecrated for witness. You see, what happens on the inside is that person is elevated to a new level. It's called spiritual. Get this now. You're elevated to a new level, spiritual, not intellectual. The Christian does not cease to be an intellectual. You've got to think. I was preaching this morning. I made some bold statements about false doctrine. I know exactly what I was saying, why I said it, and the Lord incorporated it into the message for such a time as that. And I want to caution you. The devil might send someone here to try to proselyze us. Be very careful about people that ask questions about your faith in Christ. Especially, get the point, people that you don't see hanging around here, but then want to hang around here. Be very, very careful. See, Jesus elevates you internally on a spiritual level. Jenny, you're going to start thinking, what was that question all about? Why are they always hanging around me? God does something on the inside. Let's say that couple just gets married, Brother Evan, and then as soon as you just get married, somebody's always hanging around you. Christ does something on the inside of you. Now you're thinking on a spiritual realm. What is this all about? You're not thinking on that natural realm down there. That's what consecration is. Jesus knew when he took Peter and James and John up to the top of that mountain to be set apart that they would what? Never be the same again. They would never be the same again. See. And Jesus told them often, don't tell anybody about what happened up here. Don't tell them what you saw. You hold that to later. They would never be the same again. And here we understand that Mark is writing about that very same incident because it was passed on to him. Internally, I said, that means that the person is translated from the emotional to the conditional. When you're a consecrated believer, you don't operate on emotion. What I loved about Friday night, and for those of you that came out with us at the King's Chapel Apostolic Church, what I love is you didn't let anything emotionally arouse you. You let the internal spiritual arouse you. I looked out there and saw all of it clapping their hands and praising God. It was because of a spiritual thing and not an emotional thing. When Christ comes in you, something emotionally happens, but you don't allow that emotion. You allow the condition of the Holy Spirit bubbling up in your heart. Everything that you do is contingent or dependent upon who Jesus is, what he's doing in you. Everything that you do. We were speaking Tuesday night about how you can stay out of the Jimmy Swaggart syndrome. Well, I'm going to tell you, I hope the Lord gives me time to make a tape about that. Ephesians 5:18 tells you how you can never fall the way the Jimmy Swaggart did. It said, don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's what I mean by internal. And when you're consecrated, Brother Matthew, Christ is in you. And you'll never fall if you continue to let him fill you. Christ is in touch with you, and since it's internal, you are in touch with reality. Every Christian is in touch with reality. The non-Christian is not. The non-Christian has no idea what we are talking about when we're talking about an internal Holy Spirit taking up his rule in you. The sinner will look at you and say, "What are you talking about, man? God in me?" Yes, God in me through Christ Jesus. And everything that I do demonstrates that he is in me. There's no false impressions for the person that is under the internal rule of the Holy Spirit. You can't be fooled. Now listen to me. This is the only way, Sister Chick, that you can be fooled in God's church. Disengage your spiritual mind. Want things to be easy. Want a life of ease. Want no type of pressure to make you think on godly things. You be fooled instantly. You stay on your knees and you pray. When somebody communicates with you, your whole objective is going to be honest. You're going to say, "What is it all about? What is this conversation all about? What should the outcome of it be?" And no one can fool you. The Holy Spirit will rest, rule, and abide in you, as that benediction says. The sinner is out of touch with reality. Therefore, it's impossible for an ungodly man to be consecrated unless he allows Jesus Christ to come in his life. Now, I said that consecration to the Lord changes a man. And we asked how, and we said it changes him internally. And the second and last point of this short but important message, because see, we consecrated people, we supposed to know this. Second and very important part is externally. In other words, you are changed externally also. Your inside, Brother Hill, is totally transformed, but there's something else about you that's totally transformed. I look around at all the ladies in here. I do not see any of you ladies in God's house tonight dressed in a barroom dress. I do not see any of you men dressed in here like you hustlers, all right, out there pimping somebody, all right? Something's happened on the outside of you, too. I don't see anybody coming around here driving cars looking like coke dealers, all right, with Playboy bunnies hanging around the mirror. See, that's external, Matt. See, when the Holy Spirit comes in you, when you concentrate it, you don't walk around using bad language. That's external. Because when you consecrate it, the Holy Spirit changes your language, everything about you. He works on the inside, Percy. Then he starts working on the outside. Now, I don't know about you, but when I became a Christian, I liked to dress in fancy glad rags. I used to always like to dress in flashy clothes. I was a dancer. I don't know about you all. But I was a dancer. I used to love to get on the dance floor and, hey, and wear some fancy glad rags and stuff like that. The Holy Spirit came in my heart, Matt. Reverend Stanley used to look at me kind of crazy when I came. Y'all remember when I used to come to church with my little safari suits on? I'm very loose. I mean, Sunday service. Hey, listen. The Holy Spirit said, wait a minute, John. I got to change something else about you. I got to change the external. God knew that he was going to be able to use me one day. But he knew that if I would not allow him to even change me and consecrate me externally, that I would be an offense to him. How'd you feel? Your pastor come here to preach, and I got on a pair of shorts and an open beach shirt. Say, praise the Lord. Let's just be loose in Jesus tonight. No, you say, wait a minute. I invited a guest. Man, you can't come like that. He changes you on the outside. Now, I'm not saying, Percy, every time you come here, put on a tie. No. I think the Sunday morning when we come to the Lord's house, we dressed up. We looking tough. We looking nice. Sunday night, a handful of believers come on out. Relax yourself. But the pastor, I can't relax because I'm representing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Any visitor or guest can come in here. They've got to be impressed by God's men. Not impression just for the sake of impression. Impression for the sake of the gospel ministry. Externally. In other words, his outward is just as visible and as different from his inward. Listen to me. You are going to be known by what you are, by how you walk, how you talk, how you deal with conflict. I mean, if the thing is, I will always knock them out if they mess with me. That's obviously, if you're in, are you a Christian? Yes, I'm saved and going to heaven. What did you just say you were going to do? I'm going to knock the boop boop out of them. Wait a minute. God changes also the external. That's change. How do I know this? Because the new man in Christ is renewed. And that renewal is seen in what he does. If you're truly consecrated, it's seen in what you do. You call yourself a child of God and you want to witness to somebody about Jesus. Believe me, after you get through Percy sharing to them, saying, man, you ought to come to church. You ought to give your life to the Lord. Percy, you can be on that job, and that brother can be looking at you, sitting. Anthony can tell you, because he'll used to do it. I had to when I first met that good brother, I used to tell him, you need to give your life to the Lord. He told me after the fact, he and Ron was peeking around the corner looking at me, looking for me to mess up. I had no idea. I'd say, give your life to Jesus. And he looked, is this man crazy? What? Trying to look for me to mess up. They're doing that. Christ is going to give you, Sister Jenny, some internal things to say. Well, then he's also going to give you some external power because the world is going to look at you and say, I don't believe it. No, can't nobody do that. And Hill can tell you, they used to have some pretty ladies around R&I. And I'll never forget, Hill, that little meeting in the elevator place there with that lady that day when you and I were there. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I'll never forget that. But you see, because the Lord has also given me a memory. There's going to be some external evidences in your life. He renews me. He has adorned me. And that's seen by the way I dress. Now, I'm not going to turn to these scriptures, but you just mark them down. You see, if you've truly been consecrated as a Christian, it is seen by the way you are adorned or what you are dressed with. And first of all, I'm dressed for battle. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 through 17. I am dressed to go to war. You know, the Bible says, put on the whole armor of God. I'm dressed up. And so since he's consecrated us, we got to be dressed to battle sin. When you go to work, Brother Hill, when you go to work, the brothers are going to be there with their girly magazines, with all their foul language, with everything. They're going to be there. Linda, when you go to work, Lena Mae, whenever you go, they're going to be there. And you've got to be dressed for battle. You've got to put on the helmet of salvation. Christ is my Lord. You've got to have the sword of the Spirit. Have a working knowledge of the Word of God. Your feet has to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Everything that you say, Brother Milton, while you passing that pole or whatever you do on your job, has to be done in such a way that outwardly you are manifesting the consecrated life. I am dressed for service. You can see that in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. There the Apostle Paul says, if you're going to serve me, you've got to be dressed to serve me. You've got to be dressed and clothed in his righteousness and his righteousness alone. And lastly here, I am dressed in order to really make a difference. Now let's just go back a few hours when you came to church this Sunday morning. People came in and I remember Sister Evans had on a beautiful little colorful dress out there. Now that's nice. I like to see people dress up coming to church. But Sister Evans were to tell you, honey, I'm going to service this morning. I've got to get dressed. Now, that's what consecrated people do. You've got to, in the spiritual sense, Percy, allow the Holy Spirit to dress you up. Now, let me tell you how he's going to clothe you. He's going to clothe you just the way your mama did when you were a little baby. You're going to have to submit yourself to him. Because, see, he's already chosen, Sister Jenny, your wardrobe. He's chosen. He says, you got to be clothed in my righteousness alone. Therefore, that wardrobe that you think is right, you got to throw that out. It don't fit. It says, I know what fits you. I'm going to put it on you when I'm ready to put it on you. And don't you kick it off. See, and then when he tries to put the right kind of spiritual wardrobe on you, and you trying to say, no, I don't want to wear this one today, I want to wear another one, well then, you know what your mama would do. She'd slap you right on your fanny and tell you to straighten up. And he says, no, you're going to wear this to school. See, and now, then you'd be grieving the Holy Spirit. When he's trying to get you to do something and you trying to take it off, well then he's going to slap your little fanny. And he's going to get you under subjection if you're truly consecrated. So therefore, I see that he is not only renewed and adorned, but he is finally transfigured. For we see that these disciples, when they were with Jesus, saw that Jesus was transfigured, and it literally transfigured their lives. They were never the same again, and the same is for you too. That change that has taken place in my life, Linda, is internal and external. And I remember when I first became a Christian, I'll never forget it. I had to allow the Lord to change everything in my life. Then people around me started to say, but I remember what you did. Right. And God leaves me with the memory too. I remember exactly what I did. Now look at what the Lord is doing in me. Never forget, my dad came by, he embraced me. Son, I'm so proud of you. You've made such a great change in your life. You've done wonders with yourself. And after he embraced me, I says, no, 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 Daddy. No, I didn't do none of that. You've got it all wrong. I says, I didn't have the ability to do that. Look at that. I didn't have the ability to do that. The Lord did that. And all I did was allow him to have me. Let me end up. If one is not changed and truly consecrated, he's going to be he's not going to be effective. If you're not consecrated, you're not going to be effective, nor are you going to be receptive. In other words, you're not going to pay attention to messages like this. And thirdly, you're not going to be perceptive. In other words, you're not going to be able to perceive when you need to be clothed in his righteousness. And lastly, you aren't going to be respected by Christ at all. As a matter of fact, you're going to be rejected by Christ. Let us live that consecration. Consecration is a way of life. You've got to want to be set apart for God's glory. And I pray that he might give you that power this week. Now let's pray. And as we pray tonight, I want us to pray for Sister Evans. I believe my daughter told me that your mother's going into the hospital Tuesday for cataract surgery. Amen. And so we will pray for victory in Sister Evans' stead here tonight. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for this.
What a wonderful message. What a wonderful time to spend, excuse me, listening to messages of such consecration. Consecration. Sister Evans is gone on, and thank you for coming by my website. I hope that you've been blessed by what you've heard today. Take care.